What is trinary energy? What is energy? If you research the latest theories on energy, you will find that there are many types of energy: kinetic, potential, radiant, electromagnetic, gravitational, sound, thermal, light, and other forms of energy. So to be clear about what type of energy I am talking about when I say trinary energy, we must define what energy is at the smallest element. Since at the subatomic level, all energy has a form that it can be converted into. For example, an electric particle or electron. So we will only talk about this form of energy. So let's look at the electron. You will find facts and fiction. Facts are scientific evidence which include electron microscope images, are quantifiable evidence, which means there are experiments that can be done, that are repeatable. That means that under the same circumstances, the same results should be noted. Yet the facts are that no one has any electron microscope images of an energy particle in the form of an electron. So all images are only theoretical drawings of what they might look like. And quantum mechanics only amplifies this problem with more theoretical postulation about what is inside an atom, when in fact there is no evidence that anything is inside of an atom. Since particle accelerators or atom smashers are the only tools they have to verify their theories, and no two experiments have ever produced the same results, you can only conclude that there is no scientific evidence for such theories. And more research will lead you to conclude that the theory that light and electricity are both particles or atoms, light having no mass and electricity having a little mass, only leads to more confusion about what energy is, since mainstream scientists use Albert Einstein's theory about E equals mc squared, which does not hold up at the subatomic level. So quantum mechanics breaks down. As the mass reaches the speed of light, the mass becomes infinite. Simple logic dictates that electricity travels at the speed of light, and it has a little mass, which would become infinite in mass before it reached the speed of light. So an atomic bomb would have destroyed the universe. So would any electronic device, let alone lightning. And any scientists who are intelligent enough to understand the math and concept will tell you this. And at the time of the first atomic bomb detonation, many did. So these theories about energy are just science fiction. So what do we know as a fact? Light is energy. And at the subatomic level, light has three states: solid, light, and dark. These states represent matter and antimatter, where all matter has two states, energized and non-energized, or light and solid state. As such, it is easy to find under a microscope, because it's clear that the smallest particle has three states: a solid state where matter is clearly visible because it is in a non-energized state. Then it changes states to a light or energized state and moves from one position into another. Then it disappears, which is its antimatter state. Most scientists know this as God's particle, and it's widely accepted as scientific evidence, since it can be clearly seen under an electron microscope, and experiments conclude that it can be experimented on with repeatable results. So trinary energy is God's particle, but named something more appropriate, and has been called this for almost 300 years now. So why change the name to God's particle, when it's already been named by Isaac Newton? To fully explain how the universe works, you must start at the smallest level and work to the biggest level. So we start at the subatomic level, then move to the next level, which is at the atomic level, then into the molecular level. For life forms, these levels must include the cellular levels. Then we move on to the macro levels, which include life forms, but also describes anything that physically exists in the known universe. including the galaxy, sun, moon, and planets. Then moving on to the next level, we have the universe itself, which most view as a collection of galaxies, is actually a living entity. As we are made up of each cell in our body, so it is with the universe. Who am I to talk about energy with any authority? When anyone asks who I am, I tell them, I am the light. My name is Jeffrey Scott Flesher, born in Corona on 14 January 1961. My sixth great-grandfather, Henry Weston Flesher, born 12 November 1730 and died in 1803, migrated from Germany aboard a ship named the Phoenix, arriving in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania on 2 November 1752. He married Elizabeth Bush in 1759 and had 12 children. Later, the town he lived in was named Flesherville, then renamed after him to Weston, West Virginia, in 1819, becoming a city in 1913. One of his children was Andrew, born 1 May 1771. He was my fifth great-uncle, and had a son named Isaac Newton, born 22 November 1798. And died in 1841, named after one of his ascendants, Sir Isaac Newton, born 25 December 1642, and died in 1727, who was a descendant of Jesus and born on his birthday. Keep in mind that during Sir Isaac Newton's time, the calendar was changed to the current Gregorian calendar, changing his birth date to 4 January 1643. Then they threw out 10 days, which would make the date 14 January, which just happens to be my birthday. So we were all born under the same star and sign of Capricorn. Weston inherited papers from his father, my seventh great-grandfather, Balthazar Plessier, born 16 August 1692, and died in 1755. Balthazar got these papers from Sir Isaac Newton and handed them down to his grandson, Isaac Newton Flesher. So when I talk about the work of Isaac Newton, I might differentiate between them, but to me, their writing is indistinguishable, since it was all based on the work of Sir Isaac Newton, as is mine. So my authority to talk about energy was my birthright, where I inherited the collective works of both men. And because of the fact that these papers were lost back in 1975, so all I have is my memory of them. But luckily, most of the papers I talk about are public knowledge. But only those in my family that read the work of my cousin Isaac know of his work, which is where my work starts, with the definition of trinary energy. Sir Isaac Newton's work has been published for over 300 years, yet few understand most of it. The reason is simple. Isaac had what nowadays we call Asperger's syndrome. For those that do not know what Asperger's syndrome is, it's a highly functioning form of autism, and like to be called Aspies. I come from a long line of Ashkenazi Jews with Asperger's syndrome, with high IQs. I will call them wizards, because that is what they are. So Isaac did not think like normal people, we Aspies called neurotypicals. A good example would be to compare Aspies to neurotypicals in terms of brain computational power. A neurotypical is like a single-core computer not connected to the internet. They only know what they are taught. Even if they are intelligent enough to teach themselves, they are just not noted as being complex problem solvers. Their interests are very broad, and very few have a single interest or can hold a single thought for long, whereas Aspies are like a multi-core computer mainframe connected to other mainframes and the internet. Their interests tend to be narrow and very focused. They think highly logical and solve complex problems. To understand IQs, we must look at normal IQ scores. 100 is considered normal intelligence at the high school level. 120 is above average,
It's at the master and PhD level. Albert Einstein had an IQ of 160. Like Isaac, I have an IQ of 180. So comparing me to Einstein is like comparing someone with a normal IQ to someone with an above average IQ. Although we are both Ashkenazi Jews with Asperger's syndrome with high IQs, the similarities in there. Einstein's view of how the universe worked was 100% wrong. It's all science fiction. And only someone with a higher IQ would understand that. Sir Isaac Newton's view of the universe is 100% correct, as is all his math that is still in use to this day, which made all technologies we take for granted nowadays even possible. Electronics, transportation, buildings, all used in Newtonian math. Idiots use Einsteinian math for theoretical work only. Einstein's theories have only set science back into the Dark Ages, and I have nothing more to say about it. Isaac was right, Einstein was wrong, and it's about time that mainstream scientists recognize this. Newton said the universe was static. Einstein said it was dynamic. Both cannot be right. Yet scientists of this day and age are still struggling to make sense of what Einstein said. And they cannot. In fact, they know at the quantum level it fails. So let's talk about science and not science fiction. A static universe is what most people do not understand, nor do they understand what Isaac said about light. In a static universe, there are dimensions. X, Y, and Z make up three dimensions. It has width, height, and depth. You remove one dimension and you have two dimensions. Removing another dimension and you have one dimension. Remove all of them and you have zero dimensions. Simple enough, but it cannot be proved scientifically. And faith is for the religious. And the Bible does state that you must have faith that God exists, and states God is all light with no darkness, and there can be no light without the darkness. So the Bible is stating that you must have faith that the light exists, and Sir Isaac Newton proved that. Yet he could not prove that other dimensions exist without faith. So he never published his work on this subject, but did write about it in his endless notes, as if it was a puzzle he could not solve. So he worked in alchemy and witchcraft to prove it, which proved he was a wizard. But in the scientific arena, mainstream scientists dismiss what he said as the rantings of a lunatic, since witchcraft was still considered to be blasphemy against the church, so his idea about a static universe were never understood by many. A static universe means that from the viewpoint of the zero dimension, nothing moves. It's static, since it has no dimensions to move in, so it's null space, and the ramifications for such a concept is that the center of the universe is located there, since the rest of the universe must move around it. The first dimension must move away from the zero dimension in a straight line, and is controlling that movement according to laws that govern the movement of light. These are God's laws, since God is the light. And the second dimension must follow the first dimension, which alters its course so light can bend or change directions. And the third dimension must follow the zero, first, and second dimensions. The logic of this relationship would mean that the third dimension is traveling through the static universe at the speed of light, which is what Isaac meant by the speed of light is a constant, and you can never travel faster than it. You have to think about a particle of light. Once it's energized, it does not move. The universe moves around it. Since each particle is the center of the universe, it's held in place by the zero dimension, and the third dimension moves around it under the control of the first and second dimensions. This concept is simple enough to understand once you wrap your mind around the idea that the universe is static. And once you do, you will understand it's the only way the universe can work. Since the third dimension is moving at the speed of light, It's a constant, which means it cannot be changed. So nothing moves faster than it does. Yet mainstream scientists would argue otherwise. But they would have to use Einstein's theories to do so. Yet they still use Newtonian math to do all their real work, and try to blend Newton's static universe with Einstein's dynamic universe. And it does not blend. You must forget about everything Einstein said and go back to what Newton said, because a static universe is science, and a dynamic universe is science fiction. Trinary energy is defined at the subatomic level. If it's God's particle, then it has three states, solid, light, and dark, which correlate to matter and antimatter. And mainstream's idea about what that is just wrong, because it's based on Einstein's work, when Newton was very clear that the force in all his equations was God. So Newton is the one who came up with the idea of God's particle in the first place. Matter has two states, solid and light. Solid means it exists in 3D, meaning it has width, height, and depth. Its base material can be anything, gold, silver, titanium, or any other material, whereas light is not tangible because it has no mass. But its photonic energy can be converted into another form that does, like electricity, which has a small amount of mass. But it must pull in a free valence in order to make the conversion. So its small mass did not come from the light, but as a result of the conversion. It has zero dimensions at its core, or null space. So mainstream's theories on quantum mechanics breaks down, since it's all based on Einstein's theories, which open the door for all kinds of strange things that are inside an atom, when in fact they have no facts that prove anything is inside an atom. So it's all science fiction, as there is nothing inside an atom. And no matter how many they split, they never find anything inside. Only strange chain reactions which no two are the same, meaning no repetitive test results or conclusions can be made. The particle has the first dimension that controls its course, the second dimension which allows it to move in multiple directions, and then the third dimension which holds its place in the static universe. As such, the particle shifts states from solid or dark to light. It has to shift to one side as it changes dimensions. The dark state is invisible. It's because it's null space and has no dimensions. So you cannot see it. And since you cannot force matter into antimatter, because that would be like forcing dimensions into no dimensions, which would destroy the dimensions. But because you cannot create nor destroy energy, all you can do is change it from one form into another. In this case, it normally tries to balance an equation, which is 1 plus negative 1 equals 0, where 1 is matter, negative 1 is antimatter, and 0 is null space. And this is like borrowing from Peter to pay Paul, and results in a chain reaction until the equation is balanced. A particle is the smallest element of a base material. Each material has a specific density and other properties to go along with it. As such, each have laws as to how it behaves in different scenarios. But they are all governed by the same law. At its center is the zero dimension or null space. It's wrapped around this space by the first and second dimensions, and can fold in on itself, which is best described as a coin with two sides. On one side is matter, on the other side is antimatter, and the two can never come in contact with each other because the zero dimension separates them at all time. And it's due to how the particle exists in space, which keep in mind when I say space, I am talking about 3D space. So when it changes to its antimatter state, it does not disappear into another universe, but merely turned inside out. Since we are talking about the zero dimension never moving, It's like moving the object behind it, so you could now see through it. So like the coin, when it changes from light to dark, you are seeing the null space reflecting back at you. So now you should understand what you are seeing when you look at any particle under a very powerful electron microscope. And this definition is over 300 years old, since Isaac Newton defined it this way. All I did was point this out. But it changes everything mainstream science has to say about particles. Trinary energy is the foundation of this universe we live in, yet mainstream media only hypes Einstein's universe and viewpoint of this universe. So it's no wonder few people even know what Newton said about it. Newton did not view time as a quantity you could change. In fact, Newton said time is a constant since the universe is static, which is the opposite of what Einstein said, which was that time is relative. But since in a static universe, the zero dimension never moves, so the first and second dimensions have no concept of time. In fact, time is not even a quantity, but a reference to the passing of time itself, and that never changes. A second is a second no matter where it is or how fast you are traveling, since you cannot travel faster than the speed of light. A second is merely a reference to how much distance is between two objects after so much time has passed. So think of it as a coin, matter and antimatter, as you energize one particle of light represented by a 1 or matter state, then changing it to its antimatter state or negative 1, which I will represent with a 0, which is its null space state, such that in 10 intervals, we can see a pattern like this. So this shows what we see as light moves through the universe. It seems to move forward, and at the same time the light behind it seems to disappear. But we know that in 1 picosecond, we can say that 10 intervals can be seen under a powerful microscope set to a specific magnification, where each interval represents 1 trinary particle. So we can measure the passage of time in known quantities. But the fact is that the light particle does not move. It's the universe that moves around it, which is the basic foundation of trinary energy. The idea that light can be shot out of a flashlight is just insane. And you would have to be insane to believe that. How could it travel in a straight line, and why is the speed constant, and why is there no recoil? These are only 3 problems you would have to solve. Newton was very clear about light. In a static universe, light is a constant, which means it never changes, nor does it ever move since it's static. The universe moves around the light, and some of that light is real, and some of it is imaginary, meaning it's all in our mind, or eye, or camera recording, but does not physically exist. Therefore, you cannot shoot it out of a flashlight, because it is not real all the time. Now, if that confuses you, do not worry. If you try to blend the dynamic universe into a static universe, it is your teaching of how the universe works that does not work. Because light that is real has energy. You can extract that energy with a solar cell or other device. While other particles are not real, you cannot collect their energy. So how does a camera record imaginary light should be your next question, because it does, and can be proven to do so in a lab. If you were to energize 1 photon and aim it at a collector, which could record the photon, you will note that in some frames you will see more than 1 photon, but register only 1, and it's because a photon interacts with the universe as it passes through it, and can excite other particles that do not travel with it. In fact, you can split it using a prism. Do you still register only 1 photon? Of course, because only 1 of them are real. And why it's insane to think you can shoot light out of a flashlight. Light is a general statement, because it's a vast subject, so I must point out scientific views about light. So let's start with Johannes Kepler, born 27 December 1571 and died in 1630. Born around Christmas, so he was a Capricorn, and being an Ashkenazi Jew with Asperger's syndrome with high IQ, it means Kepler was a wizard by my definition, and to prove that, his mother was accused of practicing witchcraft. So it's clear that Kepler had to hide the fact that he also practiced witchcraft, because the church actively burned witches to death at the time, and why he had to hide his practice of witchcraft, as did Sir Isaac Newton, for the same reason. But I have no constraint, and can openly admit to practicing witchcraft and being a wizard. Kepler said that the universe is in harmony, and harmony has three levels, low, medium, and high. So it has three states. This was key to Sir Isaac Newton's view about the universe. Isaac said that this harmony of the universe was God, and Kepler and Newton both believed that God was the light of the universe. And you have many types of light, and many spectrums of light. So to be clear, I am talking about trinary energy, or God's particle, because at the subatomic level, it's the smallest part of any type of light. As such, just one photon of light from a laser contains zillions of trinary particles. So to test light, you must be able to test it at the subatomic level, one particle at a time. Only then will it reveal its secrets. Trinary energy is the force that binds every particle in the universe. At the cellular level, it's controlling all the microscopic engines called cells. That is how God created all life. It binds molecules together using a code called DNA. The light side created the code, but the dark side is always trying to rewrite those codes. Scientists call them viruses, cancer, or illness. And money is at the center of all this evil disease, because these viruses are sold for profit and allowed to run uncontrolled, just for population control by the governments of the world, who also control the money of the world, since we are talking about the banks who own this world. So the truth is that religion, politics, and world affairs are all part of the teaching in the Bible. And Sir Isaac Newton was an expert on the Bibles, all of them, not just a select few. He found how to read the Bibles instead of how to read into them. He found that all this has been done before, at one time in history. We had technology far more advanced than we do nowadays. We had the ability to build pyramids, encoding their coordinates into the dimensions of the structures themselves, balancing the planet like a spin top, and producing power of magnitudes greater than we can produce to this date. If you do a search in my family tree, you will find a man named Tyrus, who was revered for his power to control lightning and thunder. They called him Thor. He was a real person in history, not a deity, but a person who knew how to produce vast amounts of power from lightning. He was a light wizard. Like all wizards in his story, we all have a few things in common. Besides all being Ashkenazi Jews with Asperger's syndrome, with high IQs, we had a staff of power. I am a medically retired disabled Air Force staff sergeant. I know all the secrets of the universe, so I am a light wizard. Isaac Newton was a light wizard, as was his ascendant Jesus with his staff of power, who was legendary for his wizard spells like Lazarus, turning water to wine, or endless baskets of fish, or Moses parting the Sea of Reeds, becoming the dark wizard who destroyed the pyramids by selling free people on getting paid in gold for their work. The story about trinary energy is a story about the universe and everything in it, how it works and why it works that way. It's because at the subatomic level, it's created this reality we call the universe. And maybe now would be a good time to start this story, and maybe it will make more sense to you.
The light wizard in the flesh will now define trinary energy from the viewpoint of the light side in terms the dark side can understand. The science of trinary energy does not even start to make much sense till it's told from the viewpoint of the wizard. This is the side of Sir Isaac Newton, Jesus, and me, Jeffrey Scott Flesher, or Flesh for short, that neurotypicals ignore because you think we are weird. Just because our brains are wired different than yours, it's because we are different than you. We are a race of people. Wizards are Ashkenazi Nazi Jews with Asperger's syndrome with high IQs. That is all we have ever been. But you treat us like we have a disease or birth defect. You try to cure us so we will be like you. But to us, you are just female sheep. And sheeple are animals. With their little brain power to even think about complex concepts. So science is all science fiction to you. All theories that are constantly changing because none of you knows what the truth is. Because it was what Sir Isaac Newton said over 300 years ago. And even though all of it is stated as facts and undisputed in all these years, so it must be the truth. And he said that God was the force in all his equations. And God is the light, and that the Bible was right about the light all along, because God is all light with no darkness. But there can be no light without the darkness. So if this is the same message that Jesus set out to tell 2,000 years ago, so the light is represented by the snow or white noise in my crystal ball, and the wizard is who I am. As an Aspie, I take the meaning of words and phrases literally. So when Jesus said he would come back in the flesh, I took it he was talking about me. I am the light. I am the darkness. I am every shade of gray in between. I am the light wizard in the flesh. Thank you.